It was a very fine singing this morning. It's always interesting when you have something new. Drums always add something new, don't they? If you'll open your Bibles with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. This being Memorial Weekend, and many of us thinking on that, a lot of times we would consider some type of memorial message, message that would talk about life and liberty, message that would talk about freedoms, message that might encourage, or message that might inspire. But I find that the Bible is all of those things all of the time. Amen. And it's interesting to me how God has allowed us to walk through the book of 1 Peter. And each time we've come to what we consider to be a holiday or a special event, that as we have walked through the book of 1 Peter, He has placed each scripture in the proper event. When we came to Mother's Day, we had a message about mothers right out of Peter. I didn't have to skip 1 Peter. God's amazing that way, isn't He? We were in Peter, and in Easter, we were right on a message that worked perfect and stayed in Peter. And God is once again, in His amazingness, allowed us to stay in Peter and still be able to talk about memorial. Because in God's greatness, God is memorial, is He not? God is the perfect example of what it means to sacrifice. God is the perfect example of what it means to be a sacrifice. He gave everything, didn't He? And when we think about Memorial Day and Memorial Weekend, and we think about this holiday, I saw a cartoon. I don't remember where it was at. I think it was in the Pathway paper, actually. We actually have the Pathway paper. It's in the church. And the Pathway paper is the Missouri Baptist Convention paper. And if you don't get it, you can get that for free. If you'd like to get the Pathway paper, just go in there in the fellowship hall, and it's got a little thing in there. You can either fill that out, or you can just get their number or get their website. If you have the internet, you can just sign up, get it for free. They'll ship it to you. It doesn't cost you anything. And you can stay up on what's going on in the convention and all kinds of stuff. And some of the things are great. Some of the things you don't care about, and that's fine. But it's good information. It's really great. But I believe that's where I saw this cartoon. In the cartoon, it's just two pictures. And in one side, it's a Memorial Day cartoon. And on one side, it's a family celebrating Memorial Day. And they're having a cookout, because that's what we all traditionally do on Memorial Day, right? Matter of fact, I was thinking about that yesterday. What am I going to do tomorrow on Memorial Day? Am I going to have a bunch of people over and cook burgers and hot dogs? Because that's generally what I do. And just have a good time and that kind of stuff. Or am I just going to lay around the house? Or what am I going to do? I don't know. I hadn't figured that out, right? And on the other side, it showed a picture of a mother and her children looking at a picture missing a father. Because Memorial Day for some is not about the picnic, and it's not about the lake, and it's not about the cookout, because Memorial Day is about the loss of someone. In this country, we have really forgotten what Memorial Day is really about. We have really forgotten what Memorial Day is about. I know that I've told you this before, but I want to tell it to you again because I think it warrants saying it again. Years ago, I can't remember exactly the year, but I think it was 95 or 96. I have some plaques in my office to kind of show it. I don't know if they had a date on it, but I had an opportunity to go to Russia. And here pretty soon, I'm going to get to go to one of the Russian blocks, one that used to be one of the Russian blocks. Here this summer, I'm going to get to go to Romania. And I bet that it's not much different than when I was in Russia. I was actually in the country of Russia. It used to be the USSR when it had all of the communist blocks, which Romania was part of that. But I was in Russia. And when I was in Russia, they were celebrating, so I think it was 95, because they were celebrating the 50th anniversary of World War II. And they were celebrating Memorial Day for them. And we were in a small town, a town maybe the size of Windsor, it might have been the size of Clinton, somewhere between 3 and 8,000, 9,000 people in the town. And that town had a tomb of an unknown soldier. This country, our country, has a tomb of an unknown soldier. I've been there. Many of you may have been there, but I've been there. We have a soldier who walks in front of that tomb day in and day out. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, rain, sunshine, doesn't matter, snow, sleet, doesn't make any difference. They never move. Or they move, but they never leave there. They walk the path constantly, 24 hours a day. Somebody's always in front of the tomb of the unknown soldier. But this town had their own tomb. And on that Memorial Day, every single person, child, adult, old, young, didn't matter, every single person was at the tomb. They weren't at the lake. They weren't having a barbecue. Because it was the day to remember. It was the day to remember the sacrifice for the freedom. And listen, and they weren't even free, really. I mean, they were still kind of under communist rule. You got to remember, when we were there in Russia, even though we were Americans and we were there, we were still walking next to the Communist Party. There were still communists all over the place. They weren't really free yet. And they were still celebrating freedom. I want you to picture that because when we think about what men and women have sacrificed in this country, sometimes we have really forgotten about that sacrifice. Those of us that we've read the names, we probably have not so much forgotten about that because we have loved ones in our family that have given their lives for that. As many of the things that you see up here attest to. We have been there and we know the pain and suffering of those that have given and sacrificed. And some of us have served in the service and we know what it takes and what has been done to make that sacrifice. We get that. We get that. So what and how does that tie to the Bible? How does that apply to Scripture? Because as much as we want to understand Memorial Day, and as much as we understand that in the physical construct, we need to understand that what Christ did is far greater. Sacrifice is a far greater thing for us than any sacrifice that any human has ever done. We have been walking through the book of 1 Peter, and very quickly, I want to give you a very quick synopsis of what we've talked about. We began by looking at 1 Peter chapter 1 and the glorious salvation that God provided, by looking at the source of our salvation, the guarantee of the salvation, the joy of the salvation, how the prophets of the Old Testament told about our salvation, how we are to respond to the salvation, the cost of the salvation, and how we got our salvation. In other words, we walk through chapter 1 looking at the glorious salvation that God provided to us. And what a glorious salvation it is. Amen. And then in chapter 2, after understanding that God provided us this glorious salvation, we knew that there was a response that had to be made to that salvation. And Peter, understanding that there was a response to that salvation, in chapter 2, Peter then set out to tell us how we had to respond to that salvation. In chapter 2, Peter called us to renounce our selfish ways. He then told us that we had to build a relationship with Christ. He then went on and said that we needed to respect the authority of those people that God had placed over us, whether we like them or not, because God put them in there. And we looked at Romans chapter 13 and how God places people in authority. And we talked about that. And then finally in 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter said that Christ is our role model and that Christ is the one that we need to follow. And he gave us the great example of Christ's suffering and how Christ did not revile and how Christ turned everything over to God and how we need to turn everything over to God and follow Christ and his role model and walk with him. And after we understood the response to that glorious salvation, then we said, and Peter said, you have now a responsibility. Listen, you cannot have a glorious salvation, you cannot have a response to that salvation, and not have responsibilities. And so we began looking at responsibilities by talking about the wives. It just fell on Mother's Day, amen? And so we talked about the wives. And husbands thought they were getting out of it, but that wasn't so, because then we talked about husbands. Because husbands have responsibilities as well, and how they're to love their wives and take care of them as Christ loved the church. And then we talked about others and others and how others have responsibilities as well. And that we all really have responsibilities to one another and how we're to love and how we're to defend the gospel and how we're to tell other people about Jesus Christ and we're to do it with gentleness and peace and comfort and the glorious salvation of God is to be told to everyone. Amen? Amen. We find that in verse 16. That we're to tell all others about Christ. However, do this with gentleness and respect, keeping your conscience clear, so that when you are accused, those who denounce your Christian life will be put to shame. See, the things that we do have to be done so that your conscience is clear. Listen, if you go around talking bad and spouting out bad things and doing all that kind of stuff, then people can use that against you. You got to be careful about that stuff. You know what? I'll tell you what. One of the worst tools in the world is Facebook. Facebook is one of those tools that can be used against you like there's no tomorrow. It's amazing to me what people will say on Facebook and think they can get away with it. It used to be email, but email isn't the tool anymore. It's Facebook. But we have to be careful, because we have to make sure that when we talk and we speak, that we are doing it so that we'll have a clear conscience. For it is better, in verse 17 of chapter 3, for it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. We have a responsibility. And so as we move in looking at the responsibilities, we also realize that some 2,000 years ago, Christ died on the cross for you and for me. And that we each have a responsibility. That we need to follow Christ. And that He sacrificed for each and every one of us. And this morning, I want us to look at how Christ's response towards us in our responsibility, as we move through that responsibility, as we move doing what God has called us to do, Christ responded to us. Christ responded to what we were doing. And when He looked down on earth, He said, look at their sinful ways. Look at their wickedness. Look at who they are. They're wicked people. They're never going to make it. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God looked down, His Son looked down and said, they're never going to make it. The wages of sin is death. They're never going to make it. He looked down and said, they're never going to make it. And so the response of Christ towards you and towards me, Peter writes about it here in this passage of Scripture. And he gives us four things, and I want us to look at these here very quickly this morning. In verse 18 through 22, he says, for Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteousness, that He might bring you to God after being put to death in the fleshly realm, but made alive in the spiritual realm. In that state He also went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in the past were disobedient when God patiently waited in the days of Noah, while an ark was being prepared. In it a few, that is, eight people, were saved through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the pledge of a good conscience towards God, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now that He has gone into heaven, He is at God's right hand, with angels, authority, and power subject to Him. In verse 18, we find that it is in Christ's death that everything begins. The preeminence of Christ's death, notice here it says, for Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous. The righteous for the unrighteous. Christ, being the righteous, died for you and for me. The wages of sin is death. There is a price that had to be paid. And so Christ sacrificed Himself on the cross. Today is Memorial Day, the day that we remember the sacrifice of those who gave their life so that you and I could have the freedoms and the life that we have today. Today is the day that I want you to remember the sacrifice that Christ made at the cross so that you could have the life of eternity. alive, free from Satan. A life that is free from sin. A life that is free from the devil's hand. A life that is free from his grip. A life that is free because Christ died for sinners, the righteous for the unrighteous. He died for all. Not for just me, not for just some of you, but for all. For God so loved the world that He gave His Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. God came for everyone. Why did He come? The purpose for His coming? To reconcile everyone to God. Look what it says in verse 18. That He might bring you. I love that word, you. That's personal. Let me say it to you again. That you, that He could bring you, personally you, reach down, pick you up. He could bring Gary. He could bring Peggy. He could bring Alana. He could bring Virginia. He could bring Gary, Jerry. He could bring Ruth. He could bring me. He could bring any one of you. He could bring you. That's what that word is, you. It's singular. He could bring you personally to God the Father. First John chapter 2, it says that Jesus Christ is our advocate with the Father. In other words, He gives us the access to the Father. Why can He do that? Because He died on the cross, the righteous for the unrighteous. He made the way. He has given you a freedom that no one else can give. He has given you a freedom that no one else can give. He died in His flesh. Notice here in verse 18, that He might bring you to God. After being put to death in the fleshly realm, He was made alive in the spiritual realm. He died physically, and He was reborn spiritually. So first, He died, His death. Second, He journeyed to the spiritual world in verse 19. He went down and He preached. He preached the transgressions, the sin. Jesus preached against the sin of the evil spirits. Those evil spirits, you'd have to go all the way back to Genesis chapter 6 to find out what these evil spirits did. But we find out that He preached against their sin, against the wickedness, against the evil that they were performing in this just wicked sin, against all wickedness and against all sin. Christ preaches against sin. He does not want us to live in that sin. He doesn't want us to live in that wickedness. That is why He died on the cross. He died and nailed your sin there. He died and nailed everything that you'll ever do there. And listen to me, I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. Many of us come to church carrying baggage with us. And Christ died so that you no longer have to carry that baggage around with you. Will you leave your baggage with Him? Will you leave the baggage with Him? He's already paid the price for you. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. It's a free gift. I watched a movie last night, and it's kind of comical. Maybe you've seen it or not, but it's called Christmas with the Cranks, I think it is the title of it. With Jamie Lee Curtis and Allen, Tim Allen, and you know, where he decides they're not going to have Christmas, and they're going to go on a cruise because your daughter Blair goes to Jamaica or wherever now. She goes to Peru, I think, or whatever. And then she decides she's coming home, right? Right? The one day before Christmas, she's coming home. And so the whole neighborhood helps him get Christmas ready. And so he right down at the end, he decides that he's going to give the cruise package to the next door neighbor who's always giving him grief. And what's so interesting about that is he goes over to the neighbor and he gives him the cruise package, and the neighbor says, "Well, I need to know how much it is so that I can pay you back." And he says, "It's no strings attached. It's my gift to you." "Well, but it doesn't have our names on it." He says, "I'll take care of everything. All you got to do is just take it and go. It's all paid for. You just go." And that reminds me of that verse of the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. It's all paid for. All you got to do is just take it and go. And when you watch the end of that movie, you see him trying to make all kinds of excuses. "Well, our son might come by. Well, who's going to take the cat? Well," and he says to him, "I find two people who are trying very hard to make all kinds of excuses why they can't go on this trip." It's so many times as Christians, and so many times as unbelievers, we're trying to make so many excuses why we can't accept that free gift. And as Christians, we're trying to make so many excuses why we can't unload that baggage to Christ. I want you to understand, He's already paid for it. He's already taken care of it. And He's already preached the message. And He's already told you what the problem is. And He's already dealt with it. He's already talked about the wickedness and the time. Look at what it says. "Those who were disobedient in the days of Noah." And listen, God punished the people. God punished the people in the days of Noah with a flood. These spirits that committed this wickedness, these demons that committed the wickedness, we find in the book of Jude, were chained up. These are demons. They're chained up. They weren't punished in the flood. They were chained up for a different time and a different punishment. But the people in Noah's day who disrespected God were punished through the flood and killed. Only 8 people were saved by the ark. That's what Peter is talking about here. While an ark was being prepared, God waited patiently. Listen, God will only wait so long. God will only wait so long for you to be obedient to Him. And then the punishment will come. How long, church, before you will listen to God and be obedient? How long, church, before you will listen to God and be obedient? Peter says here, we find here that in His death, Christ died for us all and He brought us to God. Then He went and He preached to the spirits. Then we find that He is resurrected. And we know that without Christ's resurrection, there is nothing. That the death of Jesus would have been just like everyone else. But because of the resurrection, we have great hope in what Christ has told us. And in Christ's resurrection, we find salvation because Jesus' resurrection guarantees our redemption. It guarantees our redemption. Guarantees that. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But God commendeth His love towards us, and yet while we were sinners, Christ died for us. How powerful is that? How powerful is that? We've got a minute. I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 10. This is in your bulletin. I don't know where I stuck my bulletin at. Oh, there it is right here. If you want to just look on the back of your bulletin, you can. I like the way the ESV puts it, so I'll just read right off the back of your bulletin if you want to look on the back of your bulletin.
have their bulletin, say amen. Okay, let's try that again. Everybody got your bulletin, say amen.
Amen.
All right, here we go. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sin, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting for the time until his enemies should be made his footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he was perfected for all time those who had been sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us. For after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declared the Lord, I will put my law on their hearts and write them on their minds. Then he added, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, and with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. I'm going to point out just a couple things real quick here. Notice here that Christ, for all times, a single sacrifice for sin at the beginning. He is now in heaven, resurrected, sitting at the right hand of God, waiting that his enemies should be made his footstool. Notice that it said, for by a single offering, he is has been perfected for all times. God has forgotten all of our sins. He said here, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. And because of that, because of Jesus' blood, because of his life, because of the curtain of his flesh, we can enter in with full assurance, washed in the blood of Christ, sprinkled clean because of Christ. And Peter says that we can then, because of the resurrection of Christ, because of the water baptism that doesn't save us, but is an example of what Jesus has done, is an outward example of what Christ has done in our life, we can then move forward in what Jesus has done because of his resurrection. And the fourth thing that we find in this passage of Scripture is that he ascended and is exalted in heaven, in verse 22. Now he has gone into heaven. He is at God's right hand with the angels, authorities, power, and powers subject to him. You saw that right there in Hebrews. Everything about Christ is exalted. What a great memorial to think about. What a great thing to think about Christ. Christ died so that you could live. Men and women all over this country, people that we know, relatives, family, brothers and sisters maybe, died, husbands and wives and uncles and aunts and grandparents and grandmothers, and they died so that we could have the freedoms that we have. But I got news for you right now. Jesus Christ died so that you could have eternal life. Do you have that eternal life? Are you here this morning and you don't know Christ? Are you here this morning and you don't know Christ? That's the greatest memorial you could ever have, is to know Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here this morning and you know Christ, but the problem is you've got so much luggage on top of your heart that you can't hear him. And what you need to do is unload that to him. He's here this morning, and he's asking you to leave that here with him.
to leave that here at the altar with Him. He's willing to take it from you. He's already paid the price. You've seen the Scripture. It says that God will remember it no more. All you got to do is leave it here at the altar and say, Christ, take it from me. I want it no more. I am done hauling this around with me. Are you willing to be obedient to Him and leave it all with Him today? It's your decision. What is Christ saying to you this morning? Our great Father, we thank You that You are the great memorial. That only through You we can have eternal life. And that even with all the sacrifices of all those that we know and all the freedoms that they have given to us, the greatest sacrifice and the greatest freedom that we can have is the one that comes from You. Lord, may this morning be the morning that You set us free, truly free, that we truly would come to You and say, yes, Lord, I want to be free, free from everything, from all things. Lord, would we come this morning and be set free? Thank You, Lord. I praise You in Your great precious name. Amen. Please stand as we sing softly and tenderly. You come. God speaking to you. Do you want to be set free this morning? Truly free. Free from bondage. Free from sin. Free from whatever is going on in your life. God is here this morning to set you free. You come as we sing. You come now as we sing.